My guest at this time is Charles Sasser, a veteran of U.S. Army Special Forces and a prolific author. His latest book is sounding an alarm that socialism is aggressively on the march in the United States and must be confronted now. It's entitled Crushing the Collective, The Last Chance to Keep America Free and Self-Governing. And Chuck, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Well, I think a lot of folks are familiar with terms like socialism and communism, but when you use the word collective, it obviously refers to collectivism. Briefly describe what that entails.
Well, collectivism means that collective is of more value than individual, and that's been used by every tyrant ever. That it's always for the cause, for the people, for this. You give up this freedom for this and this. And, of course, you know, throughout history, the individual has always devolved into the collective. That's always been the movement. The historical movement is from individualism to collectivism, and collectivism always ends in tyranny. Ultimately, that's what collectivism is. It's more valuable than you are, the individual.
Well, America, of course, is at least different in modern history because in Europe you had monarchies and other types of government that where folks were more used to it. In more recent times, they've obviously put in some democratic reforms, but they've in many ways kept the same ideology. The allure in America for decades and decades, of course, is that this is the place where you can rise and fall on your own. You're not in some sort of class system that determines your future and your economic success or the status of your family. You're going to be able to kind of figure out on your own based on your work ethic, based on good decisions and all sorts of other things, whether or not you're a success. This is the phrase you use in the book, it's like caging the bird for the greater good when it comes to collectivism. So how did the allure of America go from what it was and championing the individual? How did it successfully convince so many people over the decades that it was better to not champion the individual but the collective?
Well, I think, Greg, I think there's two things here that are involved, and they're both historical. For, you know, the Hitler's tyranny-liberty cycle that ever society throughout history has always gone through that same cycle, end up in bondage. The average endurance of any empire has been about 200 years. And, of course, we have exceeded that so far. But in Hitler's tyranny-liberty cycle, we're back to the stage of dependency. And once you're dependent, we got 47% of our people live upon the government. And look at the last election. Bernie Sanders, you know, who's an avowed Marxist, he almost won. He could have won the election if it hadn't been for Hillary. Hillary, you know, the dirty trick she played on him. But he could have won it because so many of our young people have been indoctrinated into this idea that you can have free college, you can have everything free now. And so we have like pigs squealing at the trough. We're all running for that trough to get the left, whatever's thrown into the trough for us. And then as a result, we give up our independence. And you give up the independence, as two groups in America prove, you give up that independence, you become dependent upon government. And what happens? Let's look at our inner cities. And let's look at the Indian reservations, especially around Four Corners. I once lived there. I'm an Indian. And what happens? We got drunkenness, we got high crime rates, out of wedlock births, we got all these maladies of a deteriorating society. And what happens is that has spilt over as government takes more and more control. That takes it. And our politicians are leading the way, and they've been leading the way ever since let's say the Frankfurt School in 1917, which was communist. And which had the idea that that you can never take a society like the United States by force, that you must subvert it, that you must institute a long march through the institutions and take over the institutions one by one by one. Education, health care being one of the primary things. You take care of the health care, you control people. If the government, like and just now they're wanting one payer system, right. Which is, I mean, and take over religion, family. Family's been destroyed. So this long march through institutions, you take over or you destroy whatever stands in your way of socialism. Never mind that socialism has never worked, Greg. Never throughout history has it worked and has always ended up in tyranny. It's just that we call it by different names. But it's always ends the same way. And it's working. It's working. I mean, listen, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he spoke of convergence. This was kind of, there wasn't a beginning, but it's kind of the beginning, because he was kind of a buddy with not only Mussolini. He and Mussolini, he had a lot of praise for Mussolini and his fascism. He had praise for Hitler at the beginning, and he had praise, a lot of regard for Stalin. Now, you know, this is he believed in convergence, that our societies, that capitalism and communism would converge with a little bit of this and a little bit of this for the greater good of the people. Does that sound like collective?
You bring up a really good point here, Chuck, in that the history of communism, socialism, is pretty much unanimous, whether you're looking at what has already occurred in the Soviet Union and at the time behind the Iron Curtain, currently in Venezuela. We're basically seeing a preview of what we are potentially headed for in Europe as those countries go more and more in that direction. And that's before we even get to the scores of millions of people murdered by these regimes. So why is this so attractive still?
One is ignorance. Remember we talked about the Frankfurt School taking over? Marcuse, a character named Marcuse, he called it liberating tolerance. He was in Berkeley, incidentally, in the 60s. Was a professor at Berkeley in the 60s. He was right out of the Frankfurt School that relocated first from Germany because, you know, they're in the international warfare between communism and fascism, which are exactly the same thing. Matter of fact, the communists are more fascist than they are communist. It was this internecine warfare. Okay, they moved to London, and from London they moved to Columbia University. And Marcuse came out of that thing. And he says, tolerance for all ideas and movements from the left, that we tolerate whatever the left does, but we have intolerance for the right. Remember that? So as a result of that, we just keep moving. We destroy everything and take over it. It's just that march through the institutions. And if we look at all the quotes that we can come up with right now that shows, look at President Obama was going to fundamentally transform the United States of America. Remember that? An Obama slogan, he revealed one of his slogans in 2012 Democratic Convention. He said, "We belong to the government." Now, that sounds like fascist to me. That's definitely collectivism. Hillary, deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed. In other words, we have to condition the people to change it. And the way we've conditioned this people is, you know, I call them the pod people. From the Body Snatchers to a sci-fi movie, the pod people have infiltrated into all our institutions and essentially taken them over. And education was one of the more important ones. And if you look now, I teach history part-time at community college for years. And I got some good stories about that. But anyway, they hardly teach history anymore. They don't teach economics. What they teach is gender studies and, you know, racial studies, and it rarely history. People are ignorant because they're not being taught, and they're being conditioned. They're being systematically conditioned. I'm not saying it's a conspiracy. It's not. But there's a movement there, and this movement's been going on since at least 1917, the Russian Revolution. And the outcome, unfortunately, Greg, the outcome is going to be we're already in socialist. Right now, we have 47% of our people living off the government. Now, when you've got that many people dependent, guess what? They continue to want more and more. You can hear them at that trough, demanding more and more. And so Bernie Sanders, you know, offered free education, free this, free that. And so they voted for him. And next, it won't be long before it's on its way. I know I sound pessimistic, and I'm not normally a pessimistic. But I was a cop for 14 years, and I worked homicide the last 10, and I worked black in Miami, Florida. I worked salt and pepper teams. I worked the ghettos in the 60s, and I saw how government was destroying the black culture, which was virtually the same statistically as a white culture before that. Internally, the black culture, when it came to crime rate, when it came to out of wedlock, everything else, up until 1960s, and we begin to say it's all whitey's fault. The culture, you could not tell the difference statistically. But then I saw what happened. I began to see three of my personal friends were shot and killed in Miami working the ghettos. And so I saw what was happening there. And in Special Forces, I saw, I've traveled all over the world as a combat correspondent with Special Forces, and I see what's happening everywhere else. For at least the last 200 years, the world, the United States and Western civilization has been the stabilizing force in the world. And now, as you pointed out earlier, Europe's gone. I mean, it's declined already. I mean, it's on its way to collapse. I mean, with Greece has already collapsed. I mean, they're collapsing. And now the U.S. is collapsing. Guess what? And as a result of this, we're seeing that the world no longer is a stabilizing force. Look, we've got all the nuclear powers now. They're threatening to nuke us. We've got our economy. China's taking over economy. I mean, it goes on and on and on. You can see that there is no stabilizing force in the U.S., that the world itself has gone bonkers. Like our culture has gone bonkers with all this idiocy. That for a man married his computer and filed a federal lawsuit in Alabama because they wouldn't recognize the marriage to his computer. I mean, that kind of bonkers. I mean, that's taking over the culture and destroying the culture. The world has gone bonkers because there's no stabilizing force left. I mean, you know, Iran. We've got Iran. We've got Russia. We've got Syria. All these people over there—they're threatening to wipe the face off the face of the earth. Israel, and that's unnerving stuff. Because if you're a Christian, which I am, that to me falls right into history, right into biblical history. This coalition of forces against Israel. I mean, it's almost like it was pre-written. Like it was preordained, like it was forecast. So what happens? No longer a stabilizing force? The world's going bonkers? Who's going to stabilize it? And nobody. We're in for some interesting times.
Well, let's get to the last issue here and perhaps provide some hope for people. Chuck, you mentioned that this movement has probably been going on longer than 100 years, but certainly in earnest since the Russian Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, and of course, you spend time in the book talking about how different Marxist planks were inserted in the United States at that time, too, during the Woodrow Wilson administration. So since the left has been playing this long game for so long, and in some ways so well, taking over the institutions, as you laid out, whereas a lot of folks have pointed out that the right tends to look at battles in terms of political cycles of 2 or 4 years rather than the long term. How do we fight back, and is it too late?
I want to be hopeful. Newt Gingrich made a real point I had read someplace recently, and he said that we're not going to be able to retake our institutions, that's just not going to happen. He also says that either socialism must win or freedom must win. But this is a gigantic battle between good and evil, frankly. And I mean, it's right out of it's of biblical terms, good versus evil, and evil when it seems to be winning. Well, I don't have much faith that we're going to win. But one of the things we must do, the main thing we must do, is no. Did you know that America now ranks 46th in the world when it comes to First Amendment rights, freedom of press, and freedom of speech? 46th in the world, somewhere around Albania. And primarily it's because of political correctness and self-censorship. We won't speak out, in other words. We don't – look, it's such a wacky world of cultural madness. You know, when men marry men and people identify as snakes or gerbils or whatever they want to identify as, they marry buildings and computers, they whack things off and call themselves – men are calling themselves women, women call themselves men. We have 50 different genders now, pronouns. And we're supposed not to say something is absurd here, something is upside down, and so we don't. We keep silent. We accept it. And, you know, once you tolerate something in the first generation, you accept it in the second generation, and in the third generation you extol it and light up the White House in rainbow colors. I mean, it's just that kind of a deterioration. And how do we do it? Let's speak out. Let's not be afraid to speak out. Let's write. So we're racist. So we're this. So we're that. I mean, you know, you're going to be homophobe. You're going to be everything in the world. I'm sure you've been called that. And but we speak out no matter what. We have to have courage. We have to have the courage to say something is wrong. This is insanity. It's total insanity. And if we follow that over the cliff, then we all go over the cliff. It's not like the United States will disappear. It won't. Except there will no longer be a stabilizing force in the world. We will be one of a number of socialist countries. Fascism is closer to what we'll be than communism, is fascism. And both of them are virtually the same thing, except we're using fascist methods now to gain communism. The fascist method, the Antifa, you know, and all that. They're using violence exactly the way Stalin and Lenin used it, exactly the way Hitler used it. You see, there's so much history involved in all this. There's so much, and that's what I tried to do in this book, is to lay it out in a cohesive order so that people could understand where we came from, how we got here, what is occurring around us at this moment, and where it's leading to. And what we can do is mainly speak out.
Chuck, we'll call time there. Thank you, sir. Congratulations on the book. We appreciate your time with us today.
Thank you, Greg. God bless.
God bless you, sir. Charles Sasser, a veteran of U.S. Army Special Forces, prolific author, also a former police officer, as you heard. His new book is Crushing the Collective, The Last Chance to Keep America Free and Self-Governing. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for WND.com.